Sega.
And welcome on into a busy edition of Off to the Races this Saturday morning. Your host, Mike Bozich, here with you. We have not one, not two, but three great interviews for you this morning. Social media guru and harness racing promoter Heather Vitale will be joining us on this program. We're going to talk about a little bit about what she does and the importance of social media in marketing harness racing. Also, the director of racing at Scioto Downs, Jason Roth, is going to talk about the upcoming meet at Scioto. First and foremost, driver Cam McCown, who just picked up his 1,000th driving win at Northfield Park. I had a chance to sit down with him as well and talk to Cam about his 1,000th win. How did it feel, my friend?
Yeah, it's, you know, once you think about it, you know, it seemed like when I got a little bit closer, it's just like I couldn't win. I couldn't win a race. You know, I just kept finishing second and just couldn't get it done.
And of course, you know, and that's something I think, you know, not only will athletes think about, you know, when they get close to a milestone, it just, I don't know if it's a mental wall or it's something where it just seems like sometimes it can be hard to break through.
Well, a lot of times just, you know, you try to make it happen. You know, sometimes when you just go out there and, you know, not think about it, just drive the horse and it just comes, but when you try to push the issue, and you're really, that doesn't work out.
Now, Cam, a lot of the horsemen that get started, they've been in the business since day one. Their father's been in the business. The great-grandfather's been in the business. But you kind of took a little bit of a different road to the sport. Harness racing really wasn't your first love, was it?
No, it wasn't. You know, I never had the opportunity. You know, I was always interested in it, but I didn't have... I had one family member in it, but, you know, I really wasn't brought up in it, you know, so it definitely, when I got introduced to it, you know, I definitely fell in love.
Bull riding was actually your first love, and that obviously is, you know, something that a lot of people perceive as dangerous, and, you know, you can certainly get a lot of injuries. And by reading, you've certainly had your share of yours, but how did you get it kind of involved in bull riding at such a young age?
I had a high school middle school friend, you know, we kind of went to a rodeo one time, and, you know, it was kind of a bright idea, like, hey, let's try this, and all of a sudden I tried it, and, you know, kind of fell in love with that, and it was history after that. But
and then you got involved in this. Then you got involved in the sport of harness racing, and here you are. You know, a couple of years later, now you're a thousand win driver. You know, from bull riding and harness racing, and obviously, as we've learned, you know, firsthand, unfortunately, especially over the last couple of weeks, that, you know, harness racing is definitely a dangerous sport and can be a dangerous sport, as well as bull riding. What are some of the similarities and the differences that you've noticed between bull riding and harness racing?
Kind of, there's a competition. You know, competition's probably about the same. You know, kind of the adrenaline rush, you know, winning a race, you know. But more likely it's more of the competition in between everybody that is pretty much the same.
And, of course, your wife, Jessica, right there to celebrate it with you all. Now, Jessica, of course, has deep roots in harness racing. She is the daughter of one of the more popular trainers, not only in the state of Ohio, but also in the country, and Brian Brown. Talk to us a little bit about Jessica and how she, you know, all the women, listen, they keep us straight. They keep us guys straight. Tell us about the influence she's had in your life and in the sport.
Yeah, you know, Jess, you know, taking care of the kids. If it wasn't for her, it just wouldn't happen. You know, everything that she does is the success to my, you know, being successful in this business is all coming from her. you know, she takes care of everything. So if it wasn't for her, I'd be in trouble.
Visiting with Cam McCown, driver, just recently picked up his 1,000th win at Northfield Park. And let's before we let you go, Cam, let's talk again about that 1,000th win. You talk about, you know, finally getting that monkey off your back. Kind of take us through the race and how it kind of developed from the best of your recollection.
Well, I took the horse up there to, you know, to try to knock some money off his card, and I really didn't know how he's going to get around that half mile track up there, you know, because he's trained on a half mile, but he's never been on a half mile. He's an Indiana bred that, you know, always liked the bigger tracks, so I didn't really know how he's going to get around there, but it just all worked out perfect. You know, the horse just got a 2-hole trip and got us to carry to the top of the stretch, and you know, he done the work after that, but was pretty awesome.
Of course, Cam not only is a driver, but Cam, you also have horses with Jessica, and the horse, of course, that you won your 1,000th with, the 1,000th win with, was one of your guys's. Cam, let's close this thing out by talking about some of the aspirations that you have moving forward. What would be the kind of the dream win, the dream scenario, the dream race for Cam McCown to win?
It just, you know, he grew up in Ohio, so, you know, like a sire stake final, or, you know, maybe it'd be awesome to try to win a little brown jug. You know, that would be awesome, but, you know, just being able to move forward and be competitive and get the opportunities, you know, from other people, you know, just try to make it, you know, just try to be competitive.
All right, that was the voice of driver Cam McCown. Congratulations to Cam on picking up his 1,000th driving win at Northfield Park just about a week ago. And on behalf of all of us here at Off to the Races, congratulations to Cam. And who knows, you might, time we talk to Cam, we might be talking to him about a little brown jug victory. Of course, that's what he and a lot of horsemen and horsewomen aspire to win in the sport of harness racing. Well, the busy edition of Off to the Races continue. Up next, it is social media guru Heather Vitale. She's going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, that is marketing the sport of harness racing. Plus, Scioto Downs Director of Racing Jason Roth will be joining us, going to talk about the Scioto meet getting set to open up in early May. Lots left to come in this edition of Off to the Races. We'll be back with Heather in a moment. And we're back on Off to the Races. Mike Bozich here, 96.7 WDLR, also on AM 1270 on your radio dial. And a very special guest with us right now, Heather Vitale. She is one of the biggest promoters in the sport of harness racing, especially on social media, that you're going to find anywhere. Heather, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thanks so much.
All right, Heather, let's first talk a little bit about some of the early days. How did you get your start into the sport of harness racing, and what kind of, you know, give you the harness racing bug, so to speak?
Well, this allows me to tell you my all-time favorite story. My grandparents in the 50s took all the money that they had in their savings account. It was about $350. They went, bought a horse that ended up being an open pacer at Yonkers. And the rest is history. So three generations later, here I am. My mom is one of the trailblazers in the sport for women harness drivers. My stepfather, Jim King Jr., he's been a great trainer for many years. And that's how I caught the bug. Thank goodness my grandparents took a chance and bought a harness horse.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned Joanne, of course, Joanne Looney King being your mother, and she, as far as women go in the sport of harness racing, has really been a trailblazer. She was, you know, one of the first women to do a lot of different things in the sport that primarily was dominated by males at the time.
Oh, 100%. First woman ever to win at the Meadowlands, and this is back in the 70s. I mean, that was just, I mean, it was front page news. It was crazy how she did so many things to open doors for women in the sport. And in fact, I tell you another quick story. She was at a track once, down, listed to drive, showed up, getting ready in her colors, and she was told by the judge there that he would not have a woman drive at his track. It was a frivolous whim. Those were his words. She was taken off the horse. I mean, now, of course, that would be illegal, but back then, in the 70s, that's what happened. And she went on to the next track with that same horse, won a race, and sent that judge a win picture. And she said after that, he actually apologized to her and put the win picture up in his office. So yeah, I mean, it was what she did over the years is a big deal.
No question about it. Visiting with Heather Vitale. Now, Heather, your harness racing career, and, you know, I know, of course, you've been around horses your whole life, but you've kind of sort of turned into like a promoter of the business. I know a lot of people, a lot of harness people across the country follow you and watch a lot of your interviews and stuff. How kind of did you get involved in that?
Well, I knew I didn't want to drive horses. I loved working in the barn, but I also loved talking. So I went to college and majored in communication, minor in journalism. And my first job was an internship at the Meadowlands. And then from there, I went to Freehold. I went to Garden State Park. I did the whole New Jersey circuit and Rosecroft. And so, like, I just went from track to track. And as I went to the different tracks, and, you know, was able to show everybody how much I love the sport. And then here comes social media. And what better way to show how much you love something and how passionate you are than to use Facebook and Twitter and Instagram? I mean, it's been such an amazing avenue for me. And then, of course, I do the different television shows, too. So I'm living the dream, literally just living the dream. I'm talking on a daily basis about a sport and about these horses that I just adore so much.
Visiting with Heather Vitale. Heather, let's talk a little bit about some of the things. Now, you know, as far as media goes, you know, kind of back in the olden days, and even not so olden days, I mean, 10, 15 years ago, a lot of people got their racing stories via the newspaper, via, you know, next day news is what I like to call it. Now with the advent of social media, and this is something I think, you know, you've taken advantage of big time, and for the positive, is that a lot of times, you know, when you interview drivers and trainers, right as they get off the racetrack, you're getting something that you don't get from that next day news, and that is the raw emotion of the moment.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's one of the things that I've just loved about Facebook is doing Facebook Lives. And when I do Facebook Lives, I feel like the viewer is living through me. Like I will be running around the paddock. Someone will be coming off the track and I will just run up to them and talk to them about the race. And then next thing you know, a minute later, I see somebody else I want to talk to and they're excited about something. I mean, you're living it like in real time, like it's happening. That's just been such a great thing with any kind of live video that you're doing on social media, and you're reaching across the world. I mean, it's one thing if you do have a television show, and I have a couple of them, and I love both of them so much. But it's one amazing thing about social media is anybody can watch it at any time, 24 hours a day, no matter where you are. That is a huge thing. You know, it just brings so much access to so many people, and it brings everybody together who loves this sport.
Absolutely, and the spontaneity of it all is just terrific. Now, of all the people that you've interviewed, whether it's been on your TV shows or on social media, do you have a favorite moment or two that you can share with us?
Oh, Ron Pierce. I have loved interviewing Ron Pierce. One of the things is because not only have we talked about some of the great horses that he's driven, Rainbow Blue probably being my favorite horse that he ever drove because, you know, I'm a Delaware girl. Rainbow Blue is a Delaware girl. But Ronnie and I have talked about everything from eating healthy to, you know, hunting. We have covered so many different topics, and he's got that dry sense of humor and just so much fun. He's just been so much fun to interview. Let me tell you, I miss me some Ronnie Pierce. I wish I could still interview him, but he's in the wilderness now, been retired for I don't know how many years, maybe 10.
Yeah.
Sweet Lou, he had a big season with him, and then, he went into retirement. So, Ronnie, if you're listening, I miss you.
Heather, before we let you go, tell us, you mentioned the couple of TV shows that you do. Why don't you tell us about them?
Well, I have a post time here on Delmarva, and it airs on Delmarva Sports Network. I have been doing post time. It's a weekly half an hour show. It's fun, educational. It's such a great show. I'm so proud of it. I've been doing it for over 25 years. And the other show that I do is a PA Harness Week, which airs on NBC Sports Philly. Another half an hour show airs on Saturdays. And am I allowed to make the announcement about you being my co-host? Because I think I just did.
I think you just did. Go ahead.
I'm so happy about that. So exclusive news right here. Mike Bozich is the new co-host with me for PA Harness Week for 2025.
That's right. Of course, that will be on the East Coast, but those also could be viewed on YouTube and some other media outlets, correct?
That is correct, yeah. Both of those TV shows have YouTube channels. All you have to do is, you know, put in Post Time Show or PA Harness Week, easy search, and they'll pop right up.
All right, so for those of you here listening, of course, in the state of Ohio, that's how you can watch Heather and myself. Well, Heather, listen, we certainly appreciate you joining us. Again, continue the success, the great job that you do in promoting our sport because, you know, listen, we need as much promotion as we can get, especially on the social media aspect of it because, hey, the social media is the here and the now.
Yes, it is. Oh, thanks, Mike, for having me. It was great talking with you.
All right, that was Heather Vitale. She is one of the biggest promoters in the sport of harness racing. And if you haven't heard of her or if you don't follow her on social media and you're a harness racing fan, do yourself a favor and follow her. She's on Facebook, Heather Vitale. She's also on Twitter. Well, I guess it's X now, formerly known as Twitter, under Heather Vitale, as well as Instagram. All right, we're going to take a time out. When we come back, it's the director of racing at Scioto, Jason Roth. You've got Off to the Races. Back in a moment. And we're back on Off to the Races. Mike Bozich here on my 96.7 WDLR AM 1270. And right now we are joined by the director of racing at Scioto Downs, Jason Roth. Jason, how are you today?
Good, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Certainly appreciate you joining us. And, well, it's that time of year again. You know, every time we talk about the Scioto opening, that means warm weather.
Yeah, we're in full swing trying to get ready for our May 8th opening, you know, checking the lights, cleaning everything up from that that cold winter that we had, and we're ready to get things started here on May 8th.
Yeah, sounds very, very good and very exciting. Well, talk to us about what we can expect here. 2025 is here already. Of course, Scioto Downs is a racetrack that has been there for a number of years. It's really one of the pioneer racetracks, not only in the state of Ohio, but across the country. Tell us what we can expect here in 2025 as we get ready to gear up for another season.
Oh, we do have some big changes for our horsemen this year. Our facility was built in 1959, including the barns and that the horsemen shipped into. So this year we will open a brand new 16 race paddock. It's when we designed it, we had the horsemen, you know, in mind, and the horses, their safety and well-being and environmental contamination in mind. So, you know, it's going to feature 14 bass stalls. The test barn is in there, all new offices for racing officials, and a nice lounge and concession area for our drivers and trainers and grooms.
Well, certainly some good things to look forward to now from a customer aspect. As always, great racing. Of course, the racing has just gotten nothing but better over the past several years. Always good fields, good wagering fields, and some pretty big races as well.
Yeah, you know, Caesars has made a huge investment into this property. 3 years ago, this will be our third year with our brand new grandstand, and you know, with that comes good horses and good purses. So adding a few bigger races, if you're not new to Scioto, you probably remember the Jug Preview for 3 O'Cole Pacers. It'll be 10 days before the Little Brown Jug in Delaware, so we will be bringing that back in 2025 and trying to make it successful and bring in those best 3 O'Cole Pacers that we can get.
Good stuff. And of course, you talk about the new grandstand, certainly more of a modern grandstand, more built for the you know, harness racing as we go into the next decade and beyond. And you know, listen, I was at Hazel Park for 10 years. We had a grandstand that was there that gosh, probably seated you know, 15,000 people. And you know, obviously that's, you know, you don't need all that much space anymore, but you know, but on the brighter side of things, it makes it more modern. And I think it makes it better. It's certainly more fan-friendly.
Well, and especially with our grandstand, as you said, we had this huge grandstand that was built in 1959. And back in those days, you needed something that big. With modern technology and the use of the cell phones now, you don't need something quite that big. Plus, we moved the grandstand closer to the racetrack, so you're literally sitting right on top of the racetrack. It makes for a great experience while watching the race.
Yeah, certainly no question about it. Visiting with Jason Roth, he is the director of racing at Scioto Downs. Now, for all the new customers, or new potential customers, I should say, that are out there that are looking for a night out and maybe something new to do, that might be listening to this program for the first time, tell them what they can expect on a night out at Scioto Downs.
Well, on Saturday nights, generally every Saturday night, we will have a band on the patio. It's a great place to watch the races. You know, if you want to get a bucket of beer, you can get a bucket of beer or soda and grab a picnic table and watch the races and listen to the band in between. You know, usually we will have some kind of event, bounce houses for kids, or down on the farm Fridays, where we will bring in farm animals. And not just farm animals, they'll bring in llamas or something different every week. And then if you wanted to enjoy a nice night out, our clubhouse seats 550 people. So we have a good dining room menu where we feature prime rib on Friday and Saturday night. And you can come on out and enjoy the races.
Good stuff. Well, you know, Jason, we talked about on this program in the past, over the last couple of weeks, about how big of a influx of money and an infusion into the sport of harness racing that expanded gaming has been. And you know, in a lot of states, you know, kind of got the ball rolling before Ohio, but it seems like Ohio has done it right. There's a lot of great racing opportunities, a lot of great races. I mean, not only in the Paramutuals, but from the fairs as well. And it seems like that the sport of harness racing, you know, is really, really healthy right now in our state.
I think you hit the nail on the head, right? For our participants, and agriculture is has such deep roots in the state of Ohio. We have, I believe it's 67 county fairs that have harness racing. And then we actually have a three-tier system in Ohio where you have the county fairs for horses trying to get that experience, or, you know, haven't quite developed yet. And then we have the Buckeye Stallion Series for your medium tier horses, and then the Ohio Sire Stakes. So the money to be made in Ohio, even if you have a horse not quite ready, you know, it's always there at the fairs, and be able to make your investment back.
Thank you very much, Jason Roth, the director of racing at Sourdough Downs. Don't forget, their meet is getting ready to get underway in the first part of May. Well, that edition just blew by here. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you joining us. Special thanks to our guests, Jason Roth, Heather Vitale, and of course, Cam McCown. Another edition of Off to the Races coming up next Saturday with a first post of 9:30. Have a good week, everybody.